Hello and welcome to another episode of Pyro Unleashed. Tune in weekly as Donnie and David discuss all things pyro, from the business aspect of the industry to technical tips and mesmerizing pyro designs. On Pyro Unleashed, we invite cutting-edge experts to the podcast to discuss their role in making this industry a success. So, sit back and unleash your inner pyro with us.
Episode number 10. How's it going, Donnie?
Going pretty good. Yes, episode 10 this week. How are things going with you guys?
Going good. Yeah, staying busy. Way too busy.
Yeah, I think we both had a busy weekend, didn't we?
Yeah. Yep. Cobra Con. You guys had the KCAP club shoot. And guess we'll dive into those a little bit after we get to our sponsorship this week.
Yeah, absolutely. This week we got Dominator Fireworks again with us. So Dominator Fireworks is a China-based supplier of all things pyrotechnics, from sparklers to 8-inch display shells and everything in between. Dominator offers almost double the SKUs of other suppliers. Dominator Fireworks was established almost 2 decades ago and has been a reliable, trusted supplier in the industry since 2005. Dominator has been a lifelong supporter of the PGI, NFA, APA, countless regional clubs and organizations, and now the Pyro Unleashed podcast.
Yeah, thank you, Ed, again for the sponsorship. Just got some new stickers in, actually. I know we had stickers at the KCAP club shoot. I had a bunch at CobraCon, and a lot of those went flying out the door. So I really appreciate everybody coming in, and hopefully some new listeners came out at CobraCon. So if you're one of those, we really appreciate you jumping in and listening and joining this ride with us.
Absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, I had some stickers on some of my tables at the club shoot, and somebody was like, "Hey, where do I get some stickers at?" So I was passing some out and some business cards out and stuff during dinner time. So everybody was happy to get those and scan the little QR codes on the business cards. So
yeah, that's pretty nice. I like the QR code, kind of leads to just a plethora of information about us, all of our socials, different platforms to listen to the podcast on, and
gives you a direct link to our Discord channel. Our Discord,
it does. Yep. Our Discord channel. Yep. Again, if you guys haven't jumped in there, feel free to jump in there. It's a lot of fun. I have a feeling we'll probably jump in there here in a little bit after.
Yeah, we have been. We've been jumping in there at night and chatting and hanging out with everybody and having a good time. And Discord is free. It's free to download, free to join. If you've never been on Discord before. Yeah, so come on over, check it out, chat with us. A lot of good stuff over there. People just talk about random stuff sometimes, but a lot of pyro goodies over there. If you had questions, there's a lot of experience over there, so people will gladly help you out. So,
a lot of fun. All right, well, let's talk about last week's episode. We had Joel with Pyroland on. That was a great conversation there. Talked a lot about their product and how they're really helping the industry grow, and obviously their colors and just where they're going to be at this year.
Yeah, we got the inside scoop that they were doing the Unlimited at Sky Wars, as well as also the PGI. So we'll see Pyroland,
right? Yeah,
you know, twice this fall. So good opportunity to go out and catch them.
Also got to see Jordan at CobraCon. So that was a lot of fun. Really appreciate it. Him coming out and helping out set our displays up. He's a champ, man. He drove 40 hours. That is insane. 40 hours to come to CobraCon. So
that's a long way. I mean, I enjoy road trips, but after about 18 hours, I kind of cap it about that, you know. So
yep.
But also too, though, they're on the far west coast out there. So it's a long drive for them to come towards the Midwest.
It is. Yeah. Yep. So
yeah, no, I was surprised that we talking to Joel last week about how many containers they're importing every year, and that was really, really cool to hear. You know, they're importing 20 plus containers a year of products, so it was really, really cool to kind of see how successful they've been with something he started, for personal use, and thought he'd start selling products,
right.
and look where they are now. So definitely congratulations to them and the success they're having.
Yeah, 100%, exactly. All right, so how was the KCAP club shoot this last week?
Oh man, it was a lot of walking. I think at the end of the day, I had like 30,000 steps on my watch the other day. So
same. I had like 10.32 miles or something. Oh man, Saturday, myself.
Yeah, it's a lot. I mean, but yeah, we had a little demo, so we had just done a group buy and got a bunch of ground effects from Kellner's, and so we did a little demo of some of the ground effects to kind of, you know, get an idea on timing and stuff like that, and the colors from some gerbs and some flames and stuff like that, and then had a little photo flash mass launch of some product that was donated to us by Dan Haynes. He had some photo flash he wanted to get rid of, so we did a little mass launch of photo flash, and then we had a couple of memorial shells for some club members. So some of you may out there may be aware or know of Linda Hanley. She was a PGI photographer. She worked at the art fair. She always volunteered at the art fair at PGI. So if you've been at the art fair at PGI, you've seen Linda, you've met her. She passed away about a month ago out in Indonesia while she was diving. She actually had a heart attack and passed away. And so we did a memorial shell for her. And then our vice president of our club, he lost his father last fall from a heart attack and stuff like that. And so we also did a memorial shell for him as well. So that was kind of cool to kind of give them, you know, some something nice like that. So we had shot 2 8-inch raccoons for them.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then we had 3 shows. Travis Kramer did a show. And then Justin Fletcher and Richie Bryson, they did a show together. And then we had the what we're dubbing now as Cobra Tech. Me and Zach Hubrick, we did the closing show for Sky for the club event. So
nice.
It was really nice. Cool. Kind of a play on Taylor Swift, you know. So if you watched our Sky Award show, we kind of put that, I think, the end to the Taylor Swift. We killed off Taylor Swift in this show, and we did a bunch of Taylor Swift covers. So
do you feel like you feel like you're done with Taylor Swift then?
I think we kind of put closure, I think, to the whole theme this time around. And so it was a good opportunity. It was a bigger show for us to test the integration between Cobra and FireTech in the same show. I've posted the videos out there. I would challenge anybody to find out which positions was which, because you can't tell. I mean, every other position on the field was Cobra and FireTech alternating. So when you did the full sweeps across the field, every other shot was a different firing system. And so you got the chance to see that everything stayed in sync across the field. And so it really kind of finally proved our proof of concept of being able to merge the two together for some large and creativity in the future. So we are planning some bigger stuff in the future to be able to use them together. And Zach has access to a whole bunch of FireTech equipment. So
after the news at CobraCon, is there a need?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, the problem is obviously even with Cobra and, you know, having more and more queues, you still need more modules, right? I mean,
it's a
matter of a supply of modules. I mean, when we did SkyWars, we gathered up nearly every Cobra mod we had available in the club. You know, if you could then on top of that integrate another firing system where we have access to roughly another 10,000 FireTech queues.
Yeah.
I mean, you could do some pretty massive shows if you could combine select it together. But we just enjoy doing things that you don't see all the time. It's some new experimental stuff. And so it's an opportunity for me and Zach to kind of partner up again and play around some stuff and enjoy it. So yeah. So it was some great shows. Really dry, it was really windy. We had a lot of fires. It's always fun when you're chasing fires between every single show because you got, you know, the whole field's on fire.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is
we had the same issue. Yeah, our whole field was on fire. I think there was 8 Cobra module casualties. Rain wasn't an issue.
Yeah. I mean, we would have enjoyed some rain, but
yeah, had all 5 inches we had in 70 hours.
We would have definitely taken some of that, but the place where we shot at this week, it's some friends of the club. They owned a wedding venue.
Nice.
And you know, give a shout out to them, Barry Acres, if you're in the Kansas area looking for a wedding venue. They have a big field and stuff behind them that we have access to, so we got about 300 foot wide frontage, and then we shot 8s there. We could have shot 12s, and even you could even push and probably get 16s if you really really wanted to at this place, but
yeah,
it's probably our biggest site that we can shoot at.
That's awesome.
So yeah, we had a total, I think, nine eights in there that we shot on Saturday, and then There was, I don't know, 3+ cases of sixes and fives, and then tons of fours and threes, and a lot of 1-4 out there. So kind of a, yeah, it's kind of a fun event. It's kind of our big one of the year. So, but we have another one coming up. Be a little bit of a smaller shoot coming up here in May, and then we'll be into the season. But yeah, for me, that was probably my big personal shoot probably for the year. So I'll be focusing on more of the other shows we have coming up this year. So, and then yeah, I guess
that's awesome.
This weekend, and you got to enjoy, like you mentioned, some rain at CobraCon this weekend.
Yeah,
I heard shows got rained out on Friday.
Yeah, actually, with all the rain that we got, really, it was kind of the end of Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So I guess it would have probably been closer to 50 hours. But over the period of that time, we got over 5 inches of rain. The rivers were up over 8 feet. And yeah, it was nuts. So we just... Thankfully, we had a building to prep in, so we were prepping in there, and then started taking stuff out. We were in the field by no later than 7 in the morning, and we started the day out with probably stepping in 4 to 6 inches of mud all day to, by the end of the day, with the wind and 75-degree-ish weather, we were driving 26-foot box trucks right on that same mud that we were just slopping in all day.
That's
so
crazy.
Yeah, it just was a weird turn of events for day, but we ended up pushing out, I believe it was 22 pyro musicals in one night.
So now, isn't a lot of those the boot camp ones that they do, right? Not they do the little boot camp?
It was, yep. Yeah, so there would have been 16 boot camps. We actually had 2 national anthems, and then the remaining amount were displays. So, yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot to digest. They ended up doing the national anthem, and then I believe Bill Corbett did a gas mine, and then we went through all of the boot camps there pretty quick. Then there was another gas mine. And then it would have been Craig Coe did a show.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then Tim Jameson did a show for, with IPC, he did a show for Raccoon. And then I shot the Dominator anthem after that. Again, that was because there was supposed to be 2 anthems, you know, Saturday and Friday night. And then RKM closed out the night. Some DMX integration with the with their pyro musical. So that was a lot of fun. Yeah, huge shout out to the crew again for just the hard work, man. It was, like I said, just slopping around in mud all day. And as always, you know, when you're dealing with those kind of adversities, tempers start to run high. And yeah.
So with that many shows on the field, like, how do you guys manage your lanes? Like,
it was such a cluster. Like, and to make it even worse, we had to kind of move some of the boot camp lanes back because of the tightness of the field, and where you start to set up closest to the crowd, to the farthest position back, there's only 60 feet of depth. So in 60 feet, we had 22 fireworks shows all set up. Yeah, that was fun. Let's just say we got it off. We got it off all off the ground, but yeah.
So
it was tight.
Yeah. So overall, what was some of the experiences, some of the things you seen while you were there at CobraCon? I know there was, they have like a casino night on like the first night.
They did have
like
a casino
that.
Night. Yeah. So we actually arrived on Wednesday to set up the trade show. We unloaded the trade show, and then we went and did, we unloaded the box truck with the pre-orders. And thanks again for everybody that had pre-orders from RKM. Thursday was the beginning of trade show, and then by Saturday or Thursday night, I'm sorry, we had casino night, and that ran from 7 to 10:30, and that was a lot of fun. So everybody gets 500 coins essentially, and you gamble of sorts for more coins, and every 500 you get another ticket, and then you put your tickets in a raffle, and then they draw numbers to see who wins prizes. So that was a lot of fun. And then, yeah, Saturday we had Friday we had trade show again, and it was pretty busy. Less people actually were there Friday just due to the fact that everybody was told that there was no shows for Friday. Yeah, so everybody kind of stayed out and partied. And I know I wasn't drinking, but I was at the bar until 3 a.m. So yeah, it was fun. But
and then
yeah, overall.
And then at some point, did you teach a class Friday or?
I actually taught a class on Saturday.
So you got to teach Saturday and shoot Saturday.
It was crazy. So I had to leave at 3. I went and cleaned up a little bit, taught a class from 3:45 to 4:45, rushed back out to the field by 5, and by 8 o'clock it was everybody off the field and we're shooting fireworks by 8:10.
So how was the class? I know you were.
It went really well, I think. James and I taught the class. We taught on music selection, product selection. Showed a little sneak peek of the finale 3D version of the closing show, and got a lot of really good feedback. Really good feedback on that.
It's cool. It's cool. I know I was watching some of the videos, and the fireballs were off the chart. By the way,
they were
the color, the rainbow fireballs,
the rainbow one was
insane.
Yeah. So actually, Bill wanted to sit with his wife. So James and I actually were shooting all those off. So that was a lot of fun.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that was crazy. I knew it saw some chatter online that he was talking about doing some methane and some colored, and so definitely wasn't expecting what I saw in the videos of the rainbow effect across. That was pretty crazy.
Yeah, we ended up doing some methanol fuel mines for our show as well, kind of keep along with that. I don't know, just EDM vibe. Yeah. We wanted to throw some different color flames in there. So yeah, that was a lot of fun. And then was it Thursday? Yeah, it was Thursday. Scott Smith had a meeting with everybody and kind of released some new information coming out. So if you haven't heard, the 18R3 is coming out. I know we've talked about it. I got to see some pictures. I think I sent you those. Really good things coming from that.
Yeah, all of us in Discord were having some FOMO. We need pictures.
Yeah.
So if you were in Discord, you got some live pictures from.
Yeah, it was live. As soon as I could send them, I was sending them over. 3.5-inch display on there. something we all might not have been expecting: the 4G LTE and Wi-Fi connectivity. So essentially, that's going to allow for black box data, essentially for uploading from the 18R3 to the Cobra portal for show diagnostics. Downloading scripts and audio files to the local storage. Little thing here: if you keep your remote close to the audio source, there is no more need for an audio box. You just plug right into the remote.
Okay. So remote will be your audio box, essentially.
Correct. Yeah. Yep.
So when you're figuring in cost at that point, you got to kind of think about your buying a remote plus an audio box in one.
Correct. Yeah. Login and permissions and user tracking with the internet on there, firmware downloads, Pyrocast integrations for automatic audio triggering, and then other future options, no limit on what can be done. So
I know when we talked to Scott and them about it, he was kind of alluding to this. He was definitely made reference to, he wanted to make sure Cobra went more professional, right? Like that's why the like Knight was going to be more your consumer type of stuff, and Cobra was going to be really pushed into that professional world. And I think this 18R3, I think, demonstrates that direction that they're wanting to go, it looks like.
Yeah, the aluminum frame is really, really nice.
So now, like with the LTE stuff and the ability of them to log in and live diagnose and stuff like that, now do you see them maybe potentially doing some type of subscription service for live support maybe down the road? Maybe that's going to be their track on this?
Yeah, I believe that's the plan. It's not now, but I think they're going to get it going and then talk about that further on. Did you hear about the round table that they had? PyroTalk hosted that.
I seen some of the round table stuff on Facebook earlier today.
CobraCon is going to be no more. They're actually going to bring out Elevate now. And I'm not 100% sure on what all the ins and outs of that are going to be. But it sounds like Elevate is going to be essentially like the parent company for Cobra and Ignite. And there's a lot of other things coming about. It sounds like there's going to be like a whole social media page back to kind of talk, you know, back to talking about like the 4G LTE and like user tracking, logins and permission. Like essentially all your information will be downloaded to the 18R3 for real time. Like, yeah, like I said, diagnostics and just everything. So yeah, who knows? I mean, there's a port on the bottom and he said it's didn't really go into too much detail, but he did mention something about docking the 18R3 into something. So I'm wondering if we're not going to be seeing a significantly larger control panel of sorts where there's maybe it is just a Cobra tablet of sorts, maybe, yeah, or something. Again, they didn't really talk about what that might be. I'm just kind of speculating here, but
yeah, with the LED screen on there, I'm wondering what's going to be the purpose really. I mean, I guess the control panel will probably still serve a purpose of ability to see stuff visually, but having that LCD screen on the remote will probably also make it a little bit, you know, more able to kind of see your stuff as well, probably.
Yeah. You'll be able to change the colors of the buttons, which for everybody that's colorblind, that will be super, super helpful. And it's funny. There was probably 300 or 400 people in the session, and I think 5 or 6 people raised their hand being colorblind. And I know that's not huge, but to me, that's enough to maybe cause a fuss a little bit and see if we can get a change. And I'm really glad that they have. So
no, absolutely. Yeah. They're trying to do their best thing to, you know, you come out with something at first, you just try to do something, as simple and how you think it's going to benefit the majority of the people. And then you try to kind of fine tune that to inclusive of as many people as you can, as you kind of develop and grow.
Yeah. We're looking at 6.1, for being the stable release candidate. And that should be the end of May of this year. 7.0 is beta release, and Gen 2 control panel will be available by the end of May. And then the 18R3 MVP. So they're looking at alpha testing by late fall.
Good stuff there, yeah.
All really good stuff, yeah. Yeah, really looking forward to hopefully getting my hands on an 18R3 in the near future and messing with it. So
if you get, you know, getting that alpha program and get some opportunities to be able to work with them, be kind of cool.
Yeah, most definitely. So where are we going to find you at soon, Donnie?
So coming up here on April 27th, I will be here in Columbia, Missouri, here at the Spirit of 76 demo and the KCAT versus Mopyro competition they do every year. So
awesome.
We'll see a lot of KCAT members here, obviously, and I'll be hanging out there on Saturday. So if you can track me down, I'll probably have some Pyro Unleashed stickers and business cards and stuff like that. So
awesome.
Come check me out. If not, I'll probably just be randomly dropping them around places for you to find them. So, you know, random table that I'm going to be probably just dropping some stickers on. You might walk around and see, but yeah.
What's that one game? It was Cash. Is it called Cash? Where you like play the game trying to find the geolocation for.
The geocaching,
Yeah, yeah. Geocaching. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be something like that. Yeah,
Pyro Unleashed.
Yeah, some Pyro Unleashed stuff. Maybe I would just stick some stickers on some random places or something while I'm over there. But we'll be out there. Travis Kramer from KCAP, he's our shooter for our show. Nice. I know they'll be out there on the 26th. I think doing a lot of prep work and getting stuff ready. And then sounds like he's got a pretty good show. I've seen a little bit of a sim of the show that he was working on, so I think it's going to be another great show. KCAP has won the last 2 years for sure. So I'm going to try to keep that streak going again.
Yeah. Yep. And the same day you guys will be doing that, I'll be at the RKM shooter training, the PGI shooter training, and our demo as well. So I should have some stickers and our cards out there as well. So be sure to find me if you're in the Michiana area.
So are you guys doing demo on 1.3 and 1.4 or what?
Yeah, so it'll be, we'll start out with daytime stuff and then we'll move to like fountains, then 200s, 500s, and then we'll move to pro line. So some more single shots, some new cakes, and then we'll move to a lot of 1.3. Yeah, we're bringing out, I haven't even seen the list, but I know in communication there's a lot of 1.3 stuff that we're going to be demoing. So
some of those nice pretty shells I've seen.
Yeah, it looks. I believe we're gonna have. Yeah, I think we're gonna have the 6-inch 4D ghost shell. I think we're gonna have the 8-inch blue to 5 color to Sakura. So yeah, lots to look forward to.
Yeah, and I know that's that was a busy weekend on the calendar when we first started the podcast. We went into the calendar stuff and there's about 5 or 6 different things going on that weekend.
Yeah, so it's huge. Yeah, there is so much happening that weekend.
So yeah, if you're looking for a demo or need to get a pyro fix, that's the weekend to go out and catch a demo somewhere, because there is probably one in your area.
Yeah, I know even this weekend our club is having a shoot. So the 20th we're gonna have a shoot and I'm rolling it around in my head to test something out there, but I don't know. I'm pretty beat up already, so I might hold off another month and give it a go in May. But
yeah, absolutely. So so one of the things I had on our list today is, you know, and something that we really working around, especially like the spirit of Studying Six versus Shoot, is getting creativity with cakes and slices and breaking things apart. In my show we did here at KCAV, I took some 19 shot Dominator rainbow slices and I pulled all the individual colors out and grouped them together and actually shot like 2 of them together in one big sweep across the entire field. And so and that's like some stuff you have to do at, like, the shoots where you're limited in product. You know, like Spirit provides just their product for the show, and you know, sometimes you can't get the single shot effects you want without breaking apart stuff, you know. And so
right.
Yeah. How do you go about like doing stuff like that? You know, do you break a lot of cakes and slices for just individual shots, or are you sticking mainly with just single shot stuff?
You know, previously I haven't. I'm not one to bust cakes apart. Yeah, mainly if I'm looking for single shot effects, I just stick with using single shots. I think the most extreme I've done, I know my sister's wedding coming up in November. There's a Dominator cake called All That Glitters, and it is just super like Nishiki Kimuro's, and I just like fall to the ground. And I know, like, for stuff like that, I'll bust that apart and use that as like a single shot finale.
Yeah.
But when it comes to like rowing things out, not really. I guess I did for the Dominator show. There's like a Howl to Crackle, cake that they have, and each row is instant. So I busted each row, like there's a delay between the rows. Yeah. So I pulled the fuse and I did make the whole cake instant. So I'll do stuff like that. So I like to leave like the structure of the cake intact. Right.
I'll do that a lot with those fan cakes. I'll cut the sides off of them and I'll leave them together, but I'll match each row in that fan cake individually. So I can shoot them off as like slices.
Yep, exactly. Yep. So I'll do that. Trying to think what else I've done along those lines. Something else that I'll do, and I did an example of it at CobraCon, and in the class, people, I was actually really astounded at the fact that people hadn't like really thought about doing this. So, for instance, there was a portion in the song. It's 100 shot cake, and if you watch the show in the closer, you'll see where it's like stops and then it kind of almost slows down mid musical, and then I start doing fountains, right? Well, in the cake right before that, it's one of our 100 shot colored lace, and I do something called a back burner, and essentially I just put what I would consider a dummy cue in the script and I hit the back end of that cake to burn it out before the next effect, because I was going for, you know, like no noise. And I just wanted like, yeah, just like almost like a somber, like feel.
Yeah. You want those parts where you have that black sky essentially, because you've got something quiet, and cakes are notoriously for running long, and you want to make sure it cuts off.
Yeah. So yeah, we do. I do a lot of like back burners and stuff like that is what I call it. Again, I was just really surprised that it wasn't like more of a common thing, but that's probably the most extreme stuff that I do.
Yeah. I'll take cakes a lot of time, and maybe it'll be a 25 second cake and I need 12 and a half seconds. So mm-hmm. I'll break it open and I'll fuse the very middle of the cake. And I'll burn the cake. The cake from the middle out. That way, you get shots like that. This last weekend, I actually took a 36 shot humming snakes cake. And broke every single shot out of there and shot every single shot individually at that thing. I need them at different points in the song. And so I ended up with like 40 of these little humming snake things spread throughout the entire show, shot them one or two at a time. You know, that was probably the most extreme I've gotten to, like, individually getting pieces out of a cake.
Yeah, I know. I've talked to several designers and they're like, oh, I pull, you know, row two, cure, fire, effect number three out, and I use it. And then I'm like, that's too much. I don't have a knowledge of the effects like that. Like, yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. There are people that they spend so much time. They know what every single shot is in a cake, and mm-hmm. they're looking for a specific effect, and they'll go and dig out that one effect out of that cake, and they'll put the rest of the cake back in storage until next time when they need the other effects out of it.
Yeah, I know in 21 to end our show and at Sky Wars, we took, I think it was a 100 shot salute. Yeah, it was a 100 shot salute cake, and it was supposed to last 45 seconds. And we took each row and we busted it off of the other row and we intermingled fast fuse. And then we like taped that row back on, and then we opened it, and we just continued to do that. So it made the whole cake go like, instantly. Yeah, it was pretty cool. So that's something else I've done too, but again, I usually keep the structure of the cake intact, and that way I'm not messing with too much,
and
but that's about the most.
Yeah, I think this is going to be something that's going to be more and more popular, especially with maybe these pro line rules getting a little bit more stricter, like with the new rules for Missouri and Spirit of Setting Six saying that you need to have a Missouri display operators license, build a purchase pro line from them now. The fire marshal Missouri is really kind of going that direction where they want you to have a display operator's license in Missouri to build a buy pro line. And
yeah, and I as much as I hate to say, like, really, I don't feel like it's that hard to get, right? So I mean, you take, what is it, 12-hour class?
Yeah.
It sucks, but I mean, in the end, the stuff that you're going to be able to shoot after, taking 12 hours of a class, it's really no different than going and taking an 8-hour PGI class.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. So really, I don't want people to get discouraged by that. I think I'm not a fan of it, but I also know that that was the compromise that was come to. I know there was a lot worse talks up for grabs. I know there was some other chatter going on, and this is kind of the compromise. Stink, it's kind of where everybody's at, and I don't really think other states are going to follow suit. I really don't.
I don't think so either.
This is a one-off, and if you really enjoy pyro that much, I think that you should stand up, talk to your Congress people and fight back a little bit. This is your hobby. This is, I know for me, it really defines who I am as a person. So if it was me and I had somebody kind of coming at me and saying, hey, I'm putting restrictions on you on this, I'd be like, whoa, hold on. We need to have another talk. That's not okay. So, talk to the appropriate people, push back a little bit. That's kind of where I am from an outside perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I wasn't really much into fireworks pre-pro line. So I've been kind of spoiled. I got into fireworks and Pearline was there. But yeah, I talked to people like in KCAP, some of the other clubs who've been around for a while, and they're like, yeah, we used to break apart cakes for effects all the time. That's just how you got them. That was the only way you could get that kind of stuff. And so,
yeah, I mean, that's how Pro-Line started.
Yeah.
Is, you know, there was, be it Dominator or Spirit of 76, it's kind of a tomato tomato on who started it. I don't want to get into all of that, but whoever did start it seen a need for it. And they said, look, let's make something happen. There's a space in the pyro industry. And kudos. Like, I really appreciate it. I mean, it has changed pyro. It has changed.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Could you imagine doing Sky Wars and you had to break all of your single shots out of cakes and slice out of cakes?
I probably wouldn't do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. No,
it's just knowing the work that I already put into it and I would have to do double. No, there's no way.
Yeah, it wouldn't make worth it.
Yeah, would not have been worth it. Yeah.
So kind of speaking on Sky Wars a little bit, they do now have their pyro tickets available.
They do, yeah. Pyro tickets are on sale. So
if you plan to be helping out on a show, working on a show, if you've got crew members you need to get signed up, I would do that because they are saying when they hit the cutoff, it's done. You're not in when they hit that 1,000 ticket limit this year, I believe is so.
Yeah.
If you're going to be at all going to be in the pyro area, now is the time to sign up and get your tickets.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Yep. Looking forward to Sky Wars. I know, I believe I'm doing some of the blind pyro out there. So I'm looking forward to doing that with some buddies. And I wasn't going to, like, I was going to go and I was going to enjoy it. I'm still going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
But it's just like, I've done a show every time I've gone. So, I don't know. It'd be kind of nice to do it on Friday night, kind of get it out of the way and, enjoy the festivities on Saturday. Yeah. Just walk around and be like, yep, that I'm not doing anything. I'm here to enjoy. I'm here to relax and see what everybody else is putting in the sky. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, yeah, I'll be out there and be a free agent. So if anybody's needing some help, you know, like I can be bribed with pyro and stuff like that, you know. we'll work for pyro, you know. There'll be a lot of KCAP members out there, but yeah, I'll be out there and probably pitching. I'll probably help out here and there. Probably I know that, you know. Talked a lot, you know. I know John's been trying to recruit some of us from KCAP, I think, to come help on his show. He's like, hey, if you guys want to help, I'll take some help. So I know that there's a couple of shows that have been recruiting some members from KCAP, so there'll be plenty of opportunities for us out there to kind of help out and hop in if we feel like it, or maybe I'm just going to sit around and just watch everybody all weekend, you know,
just relax and watch. And then we're gonna be maybe a little sneak peek into season two, but we're going to be doing some live talk and maybe some back end video. Maybe I'm not sure exactly what's all going to happen, but we're going to be over at Pyro Jam. So looking forward to going there and seeing what I know there's going to be. I believe there's three shows, there's three competitors, and then there's a national anthem. So I think there's a total of 7 pyro musicals in one night there. And knowing Tim, we can only expect the absolute greatest. So looking forward to
If you've watched those videos, you know, they're going to be some crazy shows.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe we're going to get Tim on at some point and we'll talk about Pyro Jam and everything happening there. So really looking forward to chatting with him and, seeing if they have anything new, maybe possibly planned for this year. Absolutely. So
I know that we plan to maybe do some live stuff at PGI this year. So if you guys are going to be at PGI, we'll probably have a night or two where we do some live recordings, maybe during Afterglow or something. So
we're maybe just a big round table of some fans coming up and chatting with us, hanging out. Who knows what'll come out of that one. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, absolutely. So who do we have coming up next week? Who's our next week episode?
We got Scott Shue coming on next week.
Oh, yes, Scott. Yes. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. We recorded him just not too long ago. And so it was, my first time really getting the opportunity to talk to Scott and to be able to meet him. So that was some good information there from Scott. I really, really enjoyed talking with him and learning about him and how he kind of looks at fireworks.
Yeah. No, it's going to be a really good episode. I think the listeners, you guys will really like hearing from him, what he's done in the pyro industry, events he's gone to, and kind of where he's at now. So, yep, that should be a really good episode. Looking forward to that one. And
I believe we do have secured, I think later in this month, we might have Marcus from Fireworks Forever. So,
yeah.
I'm looking forward to recording that episode. So that could be.
Yeah, looking forward to that one.
There'd be some good information there for maybe if you're starting a business or something like that, you can get some information from Marcus on how to get into the fireworks business.
Yeah, most definitely. Yep, really looking forward to talking to Marcus. He's a really good dude. And
I know we're still trying to nail down Ellery.
We're still trying to nail down Ellery.
We got to find him some internet somewhere.
We got to find Ellery some internet. Yeah. And then season finale, we're going to bring Brian with RKM Fireworks on, and we're going to discuss Proline, all the new special permitting and just everything that's coming out of that. That's really, really good. So looking forward to that one. And then again, if you guys have questions for the PGI episode for season 2, episode 1, start sending those in. Really looking forward to that episode coming back and chatting about PGI, asking new questions, hopefully have some more board members on. So I can only expect great things to come out of that.
I mean, 2 weeks from when this airs, the convention registration will open up for PGI on May 1st. So
yeah, May 1st. Wow.
We are already there.
Coming up fast.
Yeah. Fast. It's going to be 4th of July before we know it. And time now to start working on those 4th of July shows, I guess.
Yeah. Thankfully, I kind of just get a list of fireworks and kind of shoot at the hip the morning of and make something happen. I don't really script anything very much. I know that's probably a little, off the beaten path, I guess. It's not the norm for the pyro industry, but when you're doing back-to-back shows for 4 or 5 days straight, that's the norm.
Yeah. I've got a show on July 3rd and July 4th, actually shooting for Astro Magic, shooting for Dan Haynes' company. So
yeah. Awesome.
Actually working for him on the 3rd and 4th this year. So
yeah, that's great.
Shooting a couple of his shows. So, and then we'll start probably then focusing on that PGI National Anthem. So
yeah. Wow. That's coming up just really fast. So,
all right, guys. Well, it's been another week of the Pyro Unleashed. Join us over on Discord. We'll have the link on our Facebook as well as link on the post for the episode. So come over to Discord, join us after the episode for just some live chat or some games or just some discussion with some other fellow pyros. But, hop on over and join us on Discord. And until next time, go out and unleash your inner pyro.
This has been another episode of Pyro Unleashed. Come back each week for more industry insights, technical tips, and awesome pyro designs. Have fun out there, be safe, and as always, remember to unleash your inner pyro with us.